My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in this reading in the week following Epiphany, before the baptism of the Lord, we have the gospel of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. And it would seem that this reading is chosen because it is a manifestation of our Lord's divinity, his miraculous power. But in it also is a lesson for how Jesus works with us for our sanctification. This passage sheds light on our Lord's compassion for our needs and on his desire to involve us in obtaining what we need, and in the most important instance, salvation. Our own salvation and the salvation of others. We hear of his pity for the people who were like sheep without a shepherd, his concern for their spiritual needs as well as their physical need. And in his response to the disciples' suggestion that, oh, let us dismiss the crowd so that they can go get something to eat, he shows rather that he wants his disciples to give of themselves to help solve the problems of the people, to be of service, not to simply say, well, there's a problem, let them solve it. And on the other hand, our disciples' response to Jesus reminds us of our own sense of inadequacy before the great problems that we face, our own personal problems sometimes, as well as the needs of society and the world, which are far beyond our power, and in many cases, it seems, beyond the power of man to resolve. But there's the old saying, God helps those who help themselves. We have to do our part. So our Lord, in his response to the disciples, give them some food yourselves, he's testing the sincerity of their concern and their goodwill, but he's not abandoning them. He doesn't abandon them to an impossible task. He's saying, see what you can do to help the people. And they do what they can. All they can do, it seems, is come up with 5 loaves and 2 fish, obviously far from what is needed. But they offer what they have, and then our Lord takes over and does the rest. There is a famous quote from St. Augustine, "He who made you without your participation will not save you without your participation." Our Lord wants our contribution. And so we have this message from this event that took place in the life of our Lord and of his disciples. He will help, but he wants them to do what they can. And the disciples should take away from this lesson the lesson that we shouldn't simply look for the easy way out and the immediate solution that doesn't involve any contribution or sacrifice on our part. They have the beginnings of charity, but there isn't a solid commitment. It's only when our Lord presses them that they actually see what it is that they can do, and it's obviously not enough. But that's the situation that we're all in with regard to salvation. We absolutely need grace. Without grace, we cannot be saved. And that's what God supplies. Our salvation and our sanctification is a work of God, but it's a work of God that involves us. There's a teaching in theology, in spiritual theology, grace builds on nature. It doesn't take the place of nature. Jesus doesn't say, okay, they're hungry, and boom, here's 12 baskets of food. No, he says, see what you have. And then when men provide what they can, the meager amount of nourishment that they have, insufficient to feed the multitude, their Lord takes that little bit and multiplies it. And this is how he works in us. He takes whatever little we have to offer, but he requires something, at least that little bit, and then he builds on that. And if we cooperate with his grace, then he will bring us to holiness. But we have to make our effort. And this same truth applies to not only personal problems, but the problems of society, the evils that we see all around us. Many times we're tempted to throw up our hands and say, well, what can we do? But I think our Lord teaches us that we have to do what we can, even if it's little, even if it's completely insignificant and insufficient in face of a great problem. If we do a little bit, then our Lord will take that little bit and work miracles. And in conclusion, we can't fail to overlook the fact that this event in the life of our Lord is a foreshadowing of the Eucharist. And it is through the Eucharist that our Lord works his greatest of miracles, the salvation of mankind and the sanctification of the church. The Eucharist is the source and the summit of the life of the church. But even there, he doesn't simply, after he rises from the dead, say, okay, now everybody is saved and you can all come to heaven. No, we all have to work, and part of our work is to be faithful to the practice of our religion. And so we have to come and receive the Eucharist. The people, the crowds, they sought Jesus out. And in seeking him, they receive the benefits of his teaching and of his compassion and kindness. So this event of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes is replete with spiritual meaning for how we are to approach the problems of our life. People often struggle throughout their life with certain spiritual challenges, bad habits, vices. God can very easily change those things, can perfect in us his holiness, but we have to do our part and we have to trust. The disciples responded, obeyed what our Lord said to do, and our Lord then provided for them and for the multitudes, and he'll do the same for us. Let us ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to help us have this simplicity of children to go to our Lord for everything we need, to do what we can, our best effort, put that forth, and trust that he'll do the rest. And then great changes will take place in us and in the world. Praise be Jesus and Mary.